不行啊，我
飞利斯·麦克梅尔，
Welcome to Shoujo and Tell, where we discuss shoujo manga and tell who's hot and who's not, talk about themes, and just generally geek out. Today, April 26th, 2020, we'll be discussing all of Angelic Lair by Clamp, which is actually a shonen series. This is our second shonen exception. I'm your host, Ashley McDonald, and I'm joined by Asher Softman.
Hello.
And Aisha Salil.
Hey.
Only A names were allowed on this podcast. It's Angelic Lair, you know, gotta keep it. A only, okay.
All right.
You can't sit with us unless
you can't sit with us. Yes, exactly. So, Aisha, what do you do with the mangas on the internet?
I talk about them. that's it. Yo, I have a YouTube channel, an Instagram, a Twitter, and I review manga. I also have a series called Thirsty Thursday where I get tipsy and talk about extremely smutty manga. And that's, you know, that's what I do on the internet. I drink and talk about manga.
You know, only appropriate in the stay-at-home apocalypse that we're living in right now.
Yes, absolutely. Actually, I will say, please don't start drinking during this quarantine. Yeah. Because you could have a problem. You could come out of it with a problem. So, like, don't do that.
Yeah, don't drink any more than you normally did.
Right.
Good tips.
Yeah.
Yay. Asher, who are you? You know what? Nobody cares.
Wow, okay.
You're my boyfriend. Yay.
That's what I was going to say. That is the entirety of my credentials.
Okay, awesome.
I'm also your Clamp, going through all of Clamp buddy, apparently.
Oh, yeah. There's so much more Clamp to go. Oh, God.
I know.
I feel like I thought we were making progress, and then I looked at the list of Clamp things today, and I was like, no. We're not getting anywhere.
Yeah, I'm on a similar journey. So, and yeah, it's taken a while.
It takes some time. Yeah. It's like, there's all of X and a bunch of other smaller things. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then there's Tsubasa.
Right. And we're not doing Tsubasa till the end, apparently.
Yes, until the end.
The end of time.
At the end of time. I mean, aside from Cardcaptor Sakura clear card arc, it's honestly one of the most recent things they worked on, if you include World Chronicle.
Which I'm actually currently reading right now.
There you go.
Yeah.
How is it? All right.
Yeah. I will say this. Holic is my absolute favorite Clamp title of all time, ever. And I've read most of their work so far. I love Holic. And I think the whole Tsubasa, like, saga really, for me, serves its purpose as, like, giving me more context to Holic. Like, that's it. The tie-ins, I live for the tie-ins with Holic. But Tsubasa as a whole, I'm just like, yeah, it's okay. It's fine. I don't hate it. It's not...
We have very different Clamp opinions than me. Yeah. Young me was so about Tsubasa, and then Holic, I was like, I'm bored.
Yeah, and a lot of people feel the same way, so it's always funny when I say that. I'm like, Tsubasa.
That's all right. Everybody has their favorite Clampy thing, you know?
It's true.
Yeah, all right. Well, okay, so this first section about Angelic Lair will be spoiler-free. I feel like I'm usually bad at explaining this. So this section will be spoiler-free. Go through what it's about, what we like, maybe don't like about it. Personal histories reading this manga, things like that. So Asher.
Yes.
What is Angelic Lair about?
Angelic Lair is a 5-volume series following Misaki Suzuhara. She's a 12-year-old girl. She's moving from the country to Tokyo to go to a better school. She's going to live with her aunt. The first thing she sees when she gets off the train in Tokyo is a big advertisement for this thing called Angelic Lair, which is where basically you mind control a doll and fight like Pokemon.
It's true.
Yeah.
That's a good description.
Yeah. I told you it was fine. Anyway, she gets into this immediately. A creepy scientist guy helps her out, helps her get the thing she needs to start. And it's about her journey through this angelic layer tournament world.
Yeah. Yeah. lots of fighting happens.
Yes.
Yes. The Pokemon are called angels. Did we say that?
I did not say that.
Okay.
I forgot that part.
hence angelic layer.
Right. The arena that they fight in is called the layer.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's a pretty cool name, I will not lie. It's got a nice ring to it, angelic layer. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Asher, why did you as a child read this manga so many times?
I mean, one thing you have to understand about me, which I think you do understand about me, is I reread everything several times.
Uh-huh.
The other thing is, you know, I was younger when I read this. I can't pinpoint it exactly, but it must have been, you know, in the big, everybody's into Clamp boom.
Yeah, like early, mid-2000s.
Yeah, yeah, which would have put me in middle school or early high school. So, you know, as a middle schooler or early high school person, I was like, yeah, rad! everything in Angelic Lair is the kind of stuff that I was just, like, into. Like, yes, I want to design my own little action figure thingy that fights for me and kind of looks like me, but, like, way cooler.
Okay, valid.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to see these, like, you know, physically impossible people kick other physically impossible people across a table.
A floating table in the sky, yes.
Yeah, like, I definitely read Angelic Lair after some of the Clamp things that made more of an impact on me. Mm. I read it after Magic Knight Rayearth, read it after Cardcaptors. I never liked it more than those things.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was, you know, artistically different from those. It had, you know, it's the line weight is very different. The simplification of people is much more stylized. It's very cool.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, cool. I like Pretty Clamp too.
Mm-hmm.
Both clamps are good.
Yes, both clamps are good. Get yourself a mangaka team that can do both.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I was ever, like, deeply attached to the characters or plot. I was just like, yeah, this is fun.
Mm.
Aisha, did you just read this for the first time?
Okay. Yeah, I just read this for the first time, last week, I think? So, like, I have been on this journey to collect and read all of Clamp's English releases, and I own them all, and I've just been, like, getting through them. So I read Angelic Lair, and I will say, okay, I don't have really bad things to say at all. I definitely feel like it is very, I mean, it's very shonen battle manga, you know? And so it's not super, it's not super unique, but then it is unique because Clamp does tend to have really interesting ideas. Like the whole little doll action figure fighting thing is a cool idea. Like, I too would love that now. Like, I'm a doll collector, and I would love it. And I would make them outfits. Like, I love that aspect of it. But for the most part, like, it is pretty, like, standard. I do like Clamp's humor. That's one of my favorite things about them, like, in general, is their kind of, like, over-the-top, goofy, slapsticky kind of humor that they use. And I also really do like the art, but I like all of Clamp's art. They literally can do nothing wrong in my eyes when it comes to art. When it comes to art specifically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They definitely do some wacky story things where you're like, what?
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think it's a fun series. It's not one that I would necessarily tell everyone that they should just run out and try to get, you know, but it is fun. And I definitely think I would have liked this a lot more when I was a lot younger, maybe my oldest son's age, 14. I think that I would have probably loved this even more. But as a 30 plus year old person, I'm like, yeah, it's fine. It's cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely also just read this for the first time for this podcast because I believe what I did, I can't remember exactly what poll I ran, but I'm pretty sure it was either next Shonen Exception or next Clamp Thing. And so Angelic Layer was the thing that everybody voted for the most. And mostly I'm just like, why?
Because it was when everybody was into Clamp.
Because they have fond memories of this series. And that's cool. But I don't think it holds up for, people who are maybe above the age of 20. Mm-hmm. Overall, it's like a lot of things happen, right? Like, again, it's a battle shonen.
Yeah.
But I would read it and be like, I'm bored. Like, I'm just so bored. And now I'm tired because I'm bored.
It is kind of boring. Like, again, I thought the concept was cool and the fights are pretty interesting, but there was like a boringness to it because it is so like, oh yeah, I've seen this before. Oh, like I think on my Twitter, I was kind of live tweeting a little bit talking about Misaki and just how she is like the completely typical shonen battle like protagonist. There's not a whole, like, I don't know, there's just not like a punch in Angelic Layer that I kind of was expecting because so many people that I know have been so excited for me to read this. They're like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited for you to read this. And I'm like, I'm sorry, y'all.
I agree with all that. I think the one thing as an adult coming back to this, I haven't read this in years because like I said, like it was never my favorite. Mm-hmm. But coming back to it, the things I appreciate about this sort of shonen thing, like, yes, technically it's a shonen series, but it uses the shonen structure to still do clamp things. I appreciated that here where it's like the whole structure of this is, oh no, spoilers. Okay, never mind.
Spoiler-free section. We're getting there.
But, like, they use it for a journey about family and friendship rather than saving the world or anything.
True. That is a good point. That is very true. And that is one thing that I did notice while I was reading it, that it still felt almost, like, it definitely feels like a shonen, and I hate saying this, but it feels like a shonen that, oh, I can't even believe this is coming out of my mouth, but that girls could also like. I mean, like, in general, I hate saying that because, but that's kind of how it feels, which is nice. Like, it feels like a very gender-neutral shonen, which is very – I don't read a whole lot of shonen, but some of that I have, I'm just like, this was definitely made with a stereotype in mind as far as like the demographic, and it's not me. So this definitely fit better.
Yeah, it's interesting because to me it was hard actually. I was just like, okay, Misaki is inferior Sakura from Cardcaptor Sakura in a lot of ways. But then to your point, Aisha, I can see now it's also like, well, because it's just like generic everyman, like she doesn't, her personality is just like being weird and not noticing things, right? And whatever. It's kind of like more like Ichigo in Bleach, where like everybody's biggest criticism of Bleach is that it's just like Ichigo is just like a good boy, you know, like he doesn't have a personality. And I'm like, okay, valid. But also, I thought it was interesting that all the, or like most of the characters in this are women. They're like, haha, you want your battle shonens? You gotta watch girls fight each other. Just girls and girls. And one boy will allow it. One boy can be here.
One boy.
Right.
One boy whose angel is just color swapped Hikaru. I'm not wrong.
Blew my mind.
Yeah, you just blew Ace's mind, though.
It's true.
I have to
He's
look.
He's blue Hikaru.
Oh my gosh. How did I not see that?
Because you were reading it in black and white.
That was... I deserved that. What the? I just didn't even. Oh, wow. That like completely. Well, my mind is blown. I didn't notice. Oh, man. That's sad. I should pay attention more when I'm reading.
Nah. Look, I've read this several times.
True. Yeah, she's like, I've got it memorized. I don't know.
Sadly.
I mean, sadly. It's not a bad series.
Yeah, no. It's a pleasantly lighthearted series.
It's kind of, it's tepid, you know?
Yeah. But, you know, okay, I guess we can go to spoiler section after. I do have to mention that Angelic Lair does appear to be currently hard to find. At least I saw that Dark, you know, there's two versions out in English, the Tokyo Pop one and Dark Horse one. Unfortunately, me and Asher read the Tokyo Pop one because that's what we had. I'm sure the Dark Horse one is much better, and there's no just random. There's always a random word bubble that's empty in Tokyo Pop versions, and I'm like, how dare you playing manga ad libs with us? All right, fine, but like, you know. So I did notice that the Dark Horse one, like. The second, they're in omnibuses, so the second one was still readily available at Barnes & Noble, but the first one seemed to be out of print. Mm. So you'd have to go find it, you know, used somewhere, or beg Dark Horse to redo it, or maybe the license has gone to Kodansha, because all of Clamp's things seem to be reverting to Kodansha.
Mm-hmm.
It's very confusing. I don't know. That's where this manga stands in terms of publishing, though. Okay, yes. So let's get into some meatier discussions where we spoil all the things. So if you don't want to be spoiled on who wins the Angelic Lair tournaments and stuff, don't listen anymore. Go find you some used copies of Angelic Lair. So one of the things, that we've touched on both of these things a little bit, but first one is the artwork. Asher wanted to mention it in regards to one of the themes of Angelic Lair being this idea that it's like you want to have the most impact with the least amount of movement. And this is definitely one of the earliest incidents of Clamp doing this more simple art style that's still really elegant and definitely uses way too many speed lines, but that's all right.
Yeah. It did make it hard to parse a lot of the fights.
I think they're doing it on purpose, though. Like, they're like, stare at this page for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
See what you get out of it.
I mean, to me, the purpose would be, I don't want to draw backgrounds. Here's some speed lines.
Right.
But that's me.
I don't know. I definitely remember in Tsubasa in particular, just being like, what is Shaoran doing? And staring at a lot of those pages for a long, long time.
I mean, we could do a whole podcast on like my issue with that, because most of their works that are action, like, it's hard to tell what's going on. I'm just like, who's doing what with their foot? Like, where is it going? You know, like, I don't understand.
What direction did it come from?
Why are you guys so obsessed with kicking?
Like, yeah, it was just like, oh, okay. What are you kicking? Like, where are you kicking? What are you kicking at? I'm so confused. I will be honest and say that, like, because of that, like, artistic direction that they chose, and they tend to choose with their fight scenes, I have a tendency to kind of, like, skim over them because I'm like, I don't know what's happening. I just need to know, like, I just read I read the words and I kind of skim past those because I get confused.
I just remember Asher was like, I have always wondered what is happening in this one particular frame, and he showed it to me and I was like, yeah, I definitely can't tell. And then when I got to it in the story, I was like, okay, what if I turn the book this way? What happens if I just turn the book in all the directions? Does it make more sense? Maybe.
Did it?
I think a little bit, yeah. When I turned it to be just straight up with the first page below, I was like, okay, I think it makes more sense in this orientation.
Which one was that? Was that the Blanche fight? I don't remember.
I think so.
Okay.
The fact that you would even have to do that though is
it's oh, fun. Clamp. It's a fun challenge. Challenge accepted. Yeah, and then I guess it overall goes into the other theme, the biggest theme of Angelic Lair, which is small people can do things too. A very David versus Goliath sort of mentality happening here. It's valid because they're gods and angels, okay? I'm allowed to bring religion into this.
Yeah, actually, that was a great... I am impressed with that.
I was waiting for Asher to give me crap. Religious master over here.
Why would I give you crap for that? David and Goliath, first of all. I was going to give you crap for David versus Goliath because that makes it sound really funny to me, like a wrestling match on TV.
Was it not?
It was not on TV. No, David and Goliath is so much a part of Western culture that, like, yeah, I'm surprised I didn't bring it up.
Yeah, where are you? Where are you sleeping? Come here. Get up here. Talk about the religions.
No, it does not really apply here.
It does not apply here. But they're gods.
I know that. This is where I admit, like, when I was a kid, I definitely read it as Deuce, not Deus.
I have to admit that at the beginning, I was like, what is this? I don't guess I've ever seen that. I've never seen that word actually written out that I can think of. And I was like, what is this? And then I thought, oh my gosh, I hear this word. How have I never seen it? And I feel like an idiot. I wasn't going to tell anyone that I was mispronouncing it in my head for a little bit. But now I have on this podcast. And now y'all know that I am dumb.
It's fine.
Now everyone's going to know.
I'm dumb too, but I think I did do that one correctly at least. Yes!
I mean, yes, it is Deus, like, to be clear.
It is not Deus.
It very much is.
Deuce!
It is not un, deux, trois. None of those things.
None of those.
That's not even how you spell that, probably.
I don't know.
I think it's with an X.
I don't know French. Yeah, but no, I like this clamp art style too, because I definitely look at it and I'm like, they make drawing look so easy. Like, yeah, I could do these squid people. Why are they all squids? I don't know, but I could do this.
And then you try it and you can't.
And then, yeah, and then I realize I don't have that kind of hand-eye coordination, though. No, it's not how it works. But yes, there's also this gendered aspect of it. I'm like, I want to like that there is only one male competitor, but mostly I did not feel much. Like, I want to celebrate it, but I'm like, I don't know.
I mean, I thought it was cool. Again, like, it's kind of hard, like, because you just read it. So I'm an adult who just read it. So it's hard for me to put myself in, like, the mindset of, like, the demographic, I guess, that it's aimed at. So I, as an adult, I'm like, yeah, it's great to see girls can do things too. I already know that. But I think that, like, as I think for young people, I think if I were still really young, it would have been cool to see, like, girls doing something that you typically, like, when back in the day when I did used to watch Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh and things like that, it was very, like, male dominated, like the main characters were always guys, and it kind of felt like it wasn't quote unquote for girls. So it's kind of cool to see something that is kind of, again, more like gender neutral, so girls can enjoy it too. I know I'm saying very like gendered, like I know it, but that's the language that I have, and I hope that I'm getting my point across.
Yeah. I would not call this a shonen for boys. This is a shonen for girls.
Yeah.
I would say it is not gender neutral at all, because, like, so much of it is, like, you get to dress them up, and they come in a little egg, and they're pretty, and there's a pitiful princess to get them. And it's actually, speaking as someone who was a young person who, when I read it, like, I was definitely, like... I was also like, I did not know I was trans at the time. So I was like, yeah, I love these tomboy things that are made for me.
Yeah.
so little.
But that's valid.
Yeah. I think that's what I was trying to get at a little earlier is like, yes, Clamp was working in a culture and at a time where it's like, and now we're going to make this, but for girls, because there was still that, you know, and there is still that division, like, as much as we're trying to, you know, get away from it.
Right.
No, I would say Angelic Layers for girls. and that's why I did like it so much. Because, like, I also love all that, you know, I love Pokemon. I still love Pokemon. I love Digimon. Mm-hmm. But the gender disparity in the characters is very clear. Mm-hmm, and here it's like, okay, everyone is good. You can be a 5-year-old preschooler girl and be super awesome at Angelic Lair. You can be a mom and be awesome at Angelic Lair.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You can be Ojiro and be pretty good at Angelic Lair too.
Right. Yeah. And you know what? Like, as much as like at the beginning of this, I said that like Angelic Lair was meh. That is one thing that I do love about this series is the fact that there is that like that feeling of when you're reading it, you're like, oh, I feel kind of seen. Like, even if they didn't mean for you to be seen, like there's this aspect of like, oh, like with the mom, although I'm sure we'll talk about the mom. Just the fact that she is a mom who is into something, like as a mom who is into, like me personally, into, you know, things that kids are typically into. And like, it just kind of felt like, oh, look at that. Like, you can be a mom and like these things that like kids are running around like, oh my gosh, this is so great. You can be an adult. You can be a whole mom and still enjoy these things. So like, I felt a little seen. Don't get me wrong. I am not comparing myself to that woman. a mess. Yeah. A mess.
Yeah. No, yeah. I could totally see way younger me would have been like, oh, yes, battle shonen with only like female protagonists and who are still desirable too in the eyes of the, you know, few male protagonists that there are, like Kotaro and Ojiro are still like, yeah, you know, they're like, oh, I love these people, you know?
Right.
So I could see that being very, impactful to a younger me who was more, you know, everything was less black and white. Everything was more black and white. And now I'm like, eh, it's all complicated. You know, I don't need to revere a 5-year-old as my peak, you know, protagonist here. Or even a 12-year-old. Nope. I can have 16-year-olds be my favorite protagonist.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's fun. Yeah. Yeah, no, I like the point about the diversity of the players, too, with the moms and very young children. That's nice. I'll give it that. Point to you, Angelic Lair. Okay. I mean, I guess we should touch on all the Deus and Angels, but we'll start with favorites. Okay, so Asher, who's your favorite?
No, come back to me.
No, okay. You even... All right. Aisha, who's your favorite?
Okay. Oh, gosh. Okay, so I think my favorite was, and I don't know how to say this person's name. Is it Sai or Sei?
Yes, Sai.
Sai.
Sai. Okay, Sai and Shirahime, they were my favorite, probably because I loved the fact that Shirahime it was designed after the character in their anthology, Shirahime Sio. It's one, I don't know if you'll have that one. But it's great. I love it so much. It's just an anthology about like the snow princess, like character, yokai type thing, I guess. Anyway, point is, Sai's person looked like that. And I was like, oh my gosh, I see what they did there. Like a crossover kind of like nod to that. I thought that was cute. I really liked them.
Isn't that all of Clamp's work?
Yes. And I'm a sucker for it. I'm a sucker for it.
Aren't
that.
We all? Isn't that we're all like just stringing along on the Clamp here? Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's why, they knew what they were doing.
When they knew what they're doing.
That. They do. But yeah. And also, isn't Sai... Sai is the one who, like, all the girls love, right?
Yes.
Because I too was like, if I were your age, like, I have I mean, I've established in previous episodes that I've guested on here that I am, in fact, quite extremely bisexual. And so for me, I don't think
we said extremely before, but yeah.
Okay. Oh, well, the older I get, the more
extreme it becomes. All right, awesome.
But like, yeah, I definitely, if I were her age, I would have been like, yeah, if I went to school with you, I would have definitely been one of those girls who's like, oh my gosh, notice me, senpai. Like, so my type.
Yes, I agree with you. Sai is also my favorite. I just love that she looks like a delinquent, but gave no hints that she is actually a delinquent either. I'm like, yes, be my friend.
just loved her. Yeah.
Yes. And that icy look, I'm like, yes, yes, girl, you got it. What's up?
Here's my number. Call me.
Let's be friends, or more than friends. I don't know. Asher, did you come up with an answer?
I guess. I mean, I also I really like Shirahime's design. Yeah, no, this is hard because I definitely had feelings about this when I was younger, and now I'm looking at this list and I'm like, I don't actually have strong feelings.
Well, who did you like when you were younger so much?
This is embarrassing. Ojiro and Wizard.
Oh my god.
I really should have figured something out about myself at that point. Now I'm like, I also really liked Alice. The angel, not the kid.
You didn't like, right, yes. Okay. They do have the same name.
Yeah. I did not like Arisu. I think I actually liked Madoka.
Yes.
Her sister. From like a design standpoint. But yes. I'm like, I don't, whatever. I could have come up with such a cooler angel is how I feel right now. Is like my inner 12-year-old is also like, ugh.
Out of all of them?
I mean, I have very fond feelings about Hikaru also, but like that's all mixed up in my feelings about Magic Knight Rare.
Yeah, yeah.
True, yeah.
I think if I had to pick, Shirahime is really cool. I do really like Alice too. I think as a kid I was like, oh, and her thing is balance. That's so weird and niche.
That's
so I was into that.
That is weird and niche, it's true. That's fair. That's fair. I mean, Ojiro and Wizard are cool. It's okay. They're there.
Oh, I think now, if I had to pick a favorite dais, I'd pick Kaede.
Dangarang! Do you ship with Sai?
I definitely did as a kid. Now I'm like, they don't have to be.
Right.
Wow. Mister, everybody has to be lesbian and everything else. And now you're like, they don't have to be.
Look, Clamp gives us such a range of, like, you know, hinted at queer or definitely queer people. Like, I don't need them to be together because they're kind of, if they are, they're kind of a stereotype. And I'm like, all right, whatever.
Yeah.
But I think the thing that draws me to Kaede now is the same thing that draws me to Fu as an adult. Where it's like, ah, what's going on in your brain? And she had like such a creative thing with her angel. Like, I don't like Blanche's design all that much, but that whole using the emergency circuits thing, like, what kind of devil genius toy destroyer are you, Kaede?
Well, dang! All right, yeah, okay, I see. I agree. So Sai, there's also a favorite fight, which I would also still pick Sai's fight. Like, I liked the layer of the ocean, and it had been all hyped up with a, what is Hikaru's weak point? You know, like.
I actually really like that too, yeah.
But I'm sure Asher doesn't agree.
No, I do. I think I do agree.
You do agree? Oh,
I do. Because that one, I think it's the coolest fight. It uses the most creativity. The Alice fight could have been really cool, but it ended so fast. I was like, whoa, okay, I didn't remember that sucking so much. And then the Ojiro fight could have also been really cool. But I was like, I don't believe Hikaru would have lasted this long.
Yeah, it was... They definitely... Yeah.
It was like his first hit, like, took out half of Hikaru's damage points, right. And then he kept hitting her, and it was like, no, it's fine.
Somehow. Fine. Yeah.
I was like, oh, really, no? Quite interesting. I also thought, like, the force field was boring.
I don't know. Like, the, oh, what gets me is like, oh, she sees it now. Like, she gets it now. Oh, like how everyone, when they're fighting, it's like they're watching Misaki and they're like, oh, it looks like she gets it now. It's like, wow, you all are like omnipotent and like you know everything.
But that happens in all shonen, though.
True, exactly. That is very, very true. So it was just so funny because I was like, oh my gosh, we know she's gonna see it. We know, we get it. And then she sees yeah. the little energy things, and I was just like, yeah, mm-hmm. cool, good for you.
Yeah, I guess I'm always just like, force fields are kind of boring. As a mechanic. As a mechanic.
Yeah. They tried to make it into like this big, amazing deal. Like, no one else can do that except for maybe you. And like talking to Misaki's mom or whatever. Like, I don't know if you all caught that. But I was like, really? It's not that cool. Like, come on.
I mean, I guess if I'm like, okay, yeah, you know, Ojiro is thinking it with his brain. You know, if I had... Mm-hmm. better a sense of the mechanics of how this works. To me, I definitely thought a lot about the mechanics of this. I was like, okay, I mean, I kind of like it because both, you know, when you start reading the manga, it's like all it plays more into the like toy aspect of it. Mm-hmm, it's like, mm-hmm. this is an egg filled with dreams and like blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, okay, this is an interesting story to come out at the end of like a... Or, like, at the beginning of video games becoming, like, very popular in homes and stuff. And but before, like, VR. And now we have VR. So it's like, okay, this is a way better VR, though, than, like, what we even have now, you know, like, over 20 years later. So I was like, okay, these are all very interesting things. But I definitely kept – I think the thing that bothered me was, you know, there is a lot of emphasis on Misaki – you know, like being very smart and how that is really how she gets ahead mm-hmm. and stuff. But I think overall I was like, I don't know. I feel like, yeah, there's not enough talk about like, okay, Hikaru's built for speed, but like if Misaki's brain can't like keep up with that, like does it matter sort of, you know, like
yeah,
some sort of disconnect there.
Yeah, I mean, they don't really explain. Yeah, things are not really, like, explained all that well, like, how things work. Because, like you said, they did start out just kind of, like, really focusing on, like, the toy aspect. And even when they kind of explained things, I was still, like, confused when I actually watched. I was like, what is going on? Like, I don't quite understand it fully. So, I don't know. Clamp tends to have a lot of great ideas that I don't know if it's like lost in translation or something, but sometimes they aren't executed like as well as I'd like.
Yeah, yeah, no, I think that is definitely a Clamp thing. I think you know, I saw yeah, I like pulled you on this podcast because I saw you like tweeting about Angelic Lair and I was like, yeah. Oh, Aisha just read it, cool, like get over here, right? And then like I also saw Caitlin and Megan, who have also been both of them on this podcast before, and they were talking about the very, like, fan fiction style of Clamp. And I'm like, yeah, I definitely think that hurts their more interesting ideas, usually, like, when they lean into it too hard. Which, like, this manga is definitely just like, oh, man, this is... all the, like, silly, dumb crap from fan fiction just, like... over and over and over again. And that's also part of why it gets boring. It's kind of like Tamayo, definitely. Like, they all have their little niche to play, right? So then they, like, really, really hype up one gag over and over and over again. And, you know, and when you're reading fan fiction, like, it comes out chapter by chapter. Like, back in the, like, you know, when I was reading fan fiction when I was 14, it's like, it comes out chapter by chapter. You read one chapter at a time. You're not just, like, I don't normally just binge, like, a whole story, right? So you're more tolerant of it because you're like reading it in bits and pieces. But then when it's like, okay, I read 5 volumes of Tamayo just like, you know, strangling Kotaro to death, I'm like, I'm a little sick of this gag. Like, definitely. Yeah. And Ichango Boom, like, okay, shut up. Like,
you know? Even the first time with that, I hated it. I was just like, why is he doing this? Like, I guess it's supposed to be, I did not like him at all. He's creepy. That's really it. That's, he's creepy and I don't like him. Yeah. And so everything that was supposed to be like a gag, I was just like, And I usually, like I said, I love Clamp's like goofy humor, but in this case, I did not like him. And so it wasn't funny to me. And I kind of just like groaned audibly every time he appeared on the page. I was just like, ugh, I don't like him.
Yeah.
Super fair.
Asher, you have not chimed in about fan fiction style of Clamp.
I mean, I agree with you. I think that's also the nature of all serialized anything. Like, that's just how it is. It's not just a fan fiction thing.
No, there are definitely certain storytelling ways that they have that it's like, or even the themes. Like, definitely, I think a lot of these themes are things that definitely teenagers think a lot about and then have no really actual good answers to. And that's, it's like, you know, part of what draws us all to Clamp is, that they're like so self-referential. But then I think the worst thing about Clamp is that they're so freaking self-referential, you know? Like,
sure. Yeah, I agree with all that. I just, I wouldn't locate that in the realm of fan fiction. I would locate it in the realm of teenagers. There is certainly a fannish energy about Angelic Layer in particular, I think, and a lot of Clamp's stuff, because Clamp is, they are made of very fannish people.
Right.
I mean, Wish is fan fiction.
Yeah.
Yes. Right.
Straight up.
Yeah. And I feel like, honestly, most of their, I think most of their works are fan fictions of each other. Like, it's like,
Exactly. Yeah. It's like creator fan fiction. Is that a thing? Yeah. Like, I just, you know?
Sure. Well, I think that's kind of cool.
Right. And that's the thing. Like, that's, again, like, that's one thing that I do really love about them is just the crossover fan fiction-y thing. Like, they just love their characters so much that they like to put them in different universes and, like, you know, the ships stay the same, but you know, but like, it's just, it is fun. And that is something that I did like about Angelic Layer, was the fact that it's supposed to be like a crossover or like a prequel to Chobits, and so I thought it was kind of cool seeing these little, I guess, persicoms, like, is what they probably eventually turned into. But yeah, like, that was kind of cool, I guess. Like,
yeah, no, there's definitely a, like, it being a prequel to Chobits is like, okay, I actually see that, right? Like, based on the technology and stuff in it,
right? And it's like, it's fanny, I don't know, it just feels fan, like they're fan fiction of each other, and I don't know, anyway.
Yeah, I would say that Angelic Layer actually, yeah, is pretty, like, I think the nods that they made to other works, it's like, okay, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
That's light enough and fair enough that I'll allow it, you know, like, you know, like Hikaru being from Magic Knight Rare Earth, it's like, okay, fine, she reads your manga in this universe and whatever, you know?
And she watches the anime, she sings the openings to, she sings the, I know she does one from Magic Knight Rare Earth, I think the other one was Cardcaptors, I think.
Oh, that makes...
Dangering.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, wasn't paying that much attention, apparently.
I know the words to the Magic Knight Rare Earth opening. Okay?
I would not know the words to the Magic Knight Rare Earth opening. Nope. I would hope the Cardcaptor Sakura one, but no, that didn't appear to me either.
I mean, that one I don't know for sure, but.
But yeah, I just feel like Clamp definitely, you know, they're like, we have the same problems we're trying to work through. They're like, what if we keep doing it with the same characters, too? And I'm like, I don't know.
I think it works in some cases, and sometimes it doesn't work out quite as well. I don't think any problems got solved in this manga.
No problems got solved in this manga.
Can we go back to Misaki's mom?
Yes.
Yeah.
And how awful, since we're talking about characters. When I, first of all, like, I knew from the beginning that there was going to be that trope of, like, you know, she's going to find out that her mom is the person that people are like referring to when they're like, oh, you look just like, you act just like, okay, we get it.
See, fan fiction-esque writing. That's what I'm saying.
Right. Yes, yes. So what I was not expecting, was for the reason the mom abandoned her child was because she was too shy. She gets too shy around people that she loves so much.
Yeah. She's too plushy. Yeah.
I hated that so much.
The fan fiction is on high. Oh my gosh.
It was so, as a mom, and I try not to insert real life into fiction, you know, like I try to read fiction for what it is, but I was like, what in the, like, no, like this, I hate this so much. Oh, I could, I love my children. I don't want to live in the same house with them because they get on my nerves, not because I love them too much. Like, it's just, oh, that was so weird. I hated it, and I didn't like her. And, ugh, I'm, like, stumbling over my words because I'm so irritated by that woman.
Yeah. It's, it only, like, seems okay in the universe because Misaki is just okay with it. Like, yeah. I get it, because Misaki's just this pure, perfect marshmallow.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, boring.
The combination of the two is very grating.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's okay, Mom. I'm so happy that you are back now after you abandoned me for years. Like,
she's like, it's okay. You were working hard. I'm like, human. Like, has the capacity to be that understanding, you know?
Right.
Hello, this is Ashley from Futures Past, jumping in to talk about some differences, actually, between the Angelic Layer manga and the Angelic Layer anime, especially in regards to Misaki's mom. So apparently in the anime, Misaki's mom is less terrible, I would say. I have not watched the anime, but I have heard that Misaki's mom actually in the anime has some type of nerve system disease that prevents her from using her legs. So she is wheelchair bound, and this is one of the reasons that she was like working on Angelic Layer. They were apparently looking for a cure for her disease. And I think that that's far more interesting than her shyness in the manga that brings in a lot of accessibility issues and makes the game of Angelic Layer much more interesting. People have talked about it being a very, you know, accessible sport. Anybody can play it. And I think that those are worth mentioning here. Maybe you want to watch the anime instead of reading the manga. Definitely made me way more intrigued. So I just wanted to make a quick note of it. As we hate on Misaki's mom. Okay, back to the real podcast.
And what was the deal with her mom and Ichan or whatever his name is?
That's like, what I want to know.
They were on the same team. They both work for Piffle Princess developing Angelic Lair.
Yeah, but like there was a point where like they made a face at each other. Like they looked at each other in a way that was very like, maybe I'm just a weirdo and read into
are that. They're not romantically involved, right? Yeah.
As far as I know, they're not, but I definitely, as a kid, because, you know, before I realized how, like, super creepy Ichiro was, definitely thought they should get together, because, like, her husband's dead, he has nobody.
No one wants him.
Yeah, no one, well, no, apparently everybody wants him. Wasn't the receptionist at the Piffle Princess was like, oh, he's a little weird. And all the girls are, like, vying for him at this company. But, like, maybe he's too weird. And, like,
he's too weird. Wasn't that, like, a gay joke? Like, I read that as a gay joke. Oh, which I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
And I was just like, is this, like, are you homophobic? Like,
I feel like Clamp wouldn't.
Right. I don't think they would. Like, I don't think they would be. No, I don't.
I feel like they seeded that he is actually very weird enough for that to not be a gay joke.
That is true. Maybe I'm just sensitive because, like, my mind, I was just like, oh, was that a gay joke? I don't appreciate that.
No. Clamp is far worse about age differences than they are about things.
It's time for Shipping Corner, which won't be that long.
but there were some ships.
Yeah.
Such as Ojiro and Tamayo.
Yeah.
No. Fan fiction.
That was dumb. I didn't care about that. Like, I didn't understand. He was in there. He was in the story for like 2 seconds. How did, I guess there was a time skip. So like that explained like, oh, like they've been hanging out and now they're dating. And I'm just like, really?
Like, how did they even meet?
Right. It said they met at tournaments.
Yeah, that's true.
I guess. But
it's just weird. And I thought that Tamayo, I guess maybe this is like an instance of like Clamp's tendency to sometimes queerbait, because like I really fully thought that Tamayo was lesbian and mm-hmm. I was shocked.
Mm-hmm. Like, because she wants to protect Misaki from Kotaro. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just the way she acted toward, like, and maybe like, and that doesn't necessarily mean that she has to have really been in love with Misaki, but definitely she seemed like she liked girls. Like, there were just a lot of other little things that I was just like, yeah.
She's okay. Figuring it out. She's experimenting.
Yeah. At the very least, I thought she would end up, you know, like many of their lesbian characters alone. I wasn't expecting for her to end up with a boy, and maybe she's bi. I shouldn't, as a bi person, I should not be erasing, you know, bi people. Yeah. But at the same time, I was just like, girl, where'd that come from?
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Like, it was weird. I didn't care.
Yeah. I was like, why is the prince doing this? I don't understand. Why is he so creepy about panties?
Yeah. What was that?
Maybe that's how they bonded. They bonded over Misaki's panties.
Yes. Misaki's panties specifically.
Yes.
Yeah. Nope. A lot of the humor in Angelic Lair I was very uncomfortable with, because it was a lot of very gendered / sexual humor, and our main character's 12 years old.
That is true. I should have mentioned that, because I, like I said, I usually do like their humor, but I did forget. I conveniently have forgotten that. Yeah, it is very like, it's uncomfortable. Like, yes. And I think when I was reading it, I was trying to put myself in the mindset of a young person, like a person around that same age, which I think if I were 12, 14, whatever, I would have probably thought that was funny. But then it's like, should you be putting that in manga for
I think
children?
No.
You know, right. Like, I don't really want my, I have two boys.
I think some of them were better than others, but this panty thing was just like, why? Yeah. What? Yeah. Where does this come from?
It was, oh, and there was one with Misaki's, when she like, didn't she say something creepy? Kind of like,
yep.
There was something, and I remember I caught that and I was like, ooh, we're just gonna just move past that.
Which one was this?
It was, oh, where was it?
It was, I think it was early on, yeah. Shoko was like, it was, you know, Misaki had done something perfect wifely.
Yeah.
And Shoko was like, she said something creepy. I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember. Like, I'm trying to
find it. She wanted to marry, like, yeah, initially Tamayo and Shoko wanted to marry Misaki too. Like, they were just like, marry me.
Yeah, and she, like, it was like, really in it, like, it was just inappropriate. Like, there was something else that she had said, or like maybe she was like kissing on her or something. I don't know. It was weird,
something,
and I can't.
There was
find
definitely
it.
A moment where it was more than just the marry me Misaki thing.
Yeah,
which you like, can. Yeah,
that's your aunt. Like, that girl. That's your niece, and she's a child also. Like,
yeah. Oh yeah. Did she say something about how she's like, oh, you're going on a date with a boy, so I have to kiss you first?
Yes.
So you know.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh,
that's,
yeah.
Yes. Yes. I'll give you your first kiss or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like, girl, and I'm like, you do not kiss your niece on the lips.
Like,
excuse me.
Ugh. Like, there's a point where you do not kiss kids on the lips anymore. Like, babies, and really even babies, don't kiss people's babies on the lips, please. Don't.
Yeah. Especially in the unless coronavirus.
Right. Unless it's
stay
yours.
10 feet away. Everybody stay away. It's bad. I didn't particularly like Ojiro because of these things.
Right.
Gosh darn it. Well, what about Kotaro and Misaki?
I loved them. I loved them. I thought they were so adorable. I love Kotaro. I think that he is adorable. Just a great, he was just great. And the fact that he dealt with freaking Tamayo beating him up all, like, that was too much. He was too sweet for that. He knows, like, what is it? Judo? Is he doing karate? Judo?
He's doing karate.
Karate. So, like, he could have just karate kicked her across the room, but he didn't because he is a gentleman. So,
yeah. Well, it's not funny when guys hit girls.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's I mean,
that's not allowed.
Exactly.
Oh, I hate it so much because really, should we be putting that stuff in?
No.
Like, come on. Teach girls also to not hit boys. Like,
yeah,
you shouldn't be hitting each other, please and thank you. Ugh, it's so, I didn't like that. But I do really like Kotaro.
Oh, see, yeah, young Ashley would have thought that was so funny and relatable.
I mean, like, oh, it's so funny to hit boys till you get
hit.
Yeah,
I loved hitting boys. No. The one joke I liked was when Tamayo was like, no, Kotaro is actually really good at karate. He's good enough that he never lets me kill him, basically. Like, he avoids death blows.
Yeah, that was funny because they knew what we were thinking. Like, why are you allowing this?
Yeah, Kotaro and Misaki are cute, but I'm just like, mm-hmm. You're just lesser Sakura and Shaoran.
Yeah.
I will end this shipping corner saying that Sai and Kaede are my OTP. Yay.
Wait. Don't end it yet. I can fix all our problems. All our explicit ships. Well, Katara and Misaki should stay. They're perfect for each other.
Yes.
Ojiro.
Mm-hmm. Ojiro. Oh, yes.
And Ringo.
Yes.
Tamayo. I don't know.
I don't
know. Put Tamayo in a different manga and find her someone interesting enough to keep her.
Yes. Okay.
Oh, and as a kid, I have to say this, I did ship Hikaru and Wizard. but Kotaro and Misaki.
Okay.
It never occurred to me to ship the angels.
Yeah.
I did at least once find Angelic Layer fanfiction, like looked at Angelic Layer fanfiction. A lot of people like Ojiro and Misaki, and I think they're wrong. And I will say that.
What?
Ojiro and Misaki?
Yep.
I never once, it never even popped in my head. I immediately was like, I see what you're trying to do, Clamp, but not on my watch. We're not doing that. Like,
no.
Mm-mm. Do not like. Not at all.
No.
But Ojiro's the pretty one, so like, obviously fandom, you know.
No! Teenagers are so wrong all the time. God.
Yeah, I agree, because yeah, like, how could you pass up Kotaro? Like, he's so good.
Yeah.
He's a good boy.
And he's a cutie pie, you know? Like, he's a cutie pie. He looks
and he
like,
doesn't creepily try to guess what your panties are.
Exactly. It's true. Exactly.
He doesn't do anything like, creepy ever.
Yeah. Not at all. And he genuinely loves, like, he really loves that girl.
Took her
to the dojo and like showed, and he's like believing in her the whole time.
He's rooting for her over his own damn sister in this tournament.
Mm-hmm. Like, listen, that is a big deal because my little brothers would never at this point they have not quite found, like, maybe one of my brothers. I think one of my brothers has a girlfriend who is really awesome. So I think that I could see him choosing her over me, and I'm fine with that because I like her. But my other brother is going to be single until he finds someone that he could, you know, possibly root for, you know, more than me. It's not happened. So it's a big deal. He's great.
Yeah. Ojiro and Misaki, get out of here. Get it? No,
like, ew.
Get out of here. Okay. So, I know that Aisha has admitted that you haven't read Cardcaptor Sakura,
right.
But I do feel that it is important for at least me and Asher to rank all the things that we have read by Clamp so far, even though Asher was not on the Cardcaptor Sakura episode, but I know he's read it.
Fine. Yes, you know I've read it.
I know you have. Okay, yes. So the things that we've read in the order of which we produce podcasts about them are Cardcaptor Sakura, Magic Knight Rare Earth, Tokyo Babylon, Wish, and Angelic Lair. Mm-hmm. What is your ranking, Asher?
I mean, everybody already knows my favorite is Magic Knight Rare Earth. Mm-hmm. I think even if it's just purely nostalgia at this point, I have to rank Cardcaptor Sakura over Tokyo Babylon.
Wow.
I know Whoa. That you disagree.
Go on.
But Cardcaptor Sakura was very formative to me, same okay. as Magic Knight Rare Earth.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I don't like being sad. So
I love being sad.
I stand by this. And then Angelic Lair and then Wish.
Okay. Mine is Tokyo Babylon, Magic Knight Rare Earth, Cardcaptor Sakura. It's so hard to pick between Wish and Angelic Lair. I feel like I was less annoyed at Wish, maybe because my expectations were more in line with the... Because, you know, like, I hadn't read Angelic Lair when I was younger, but definitely it was in my space. Like, there was somebody who was reading it in my... There was a class I took where literally all you had to do was read 5 books. You didn't have to write a paper about them or anything. Oh, you wow. just had to read and then, like, have a brief discussion with the teacher individually. So there's a person who read very fast, so eventually she's just reading manga in this class period, and she definitely had Angelic Lair. I think I read the first volume back in the day, yeah. So just, you know, yeah, I just feel like my expectations for Angelic Lair were higher than they should have been. Mm-hmm. And I think that Wish at least plays with some themes that are more interesting, so I would mm-hmm. maybe rank Wish above Angelic Lair, unfortunately. But don't quote me. In a future podcast when we rank and I switch them, you know. They're interchangeable.
Right. So I have not read Cardcaptor Sakura, but I still want to rank the other ones.
Yes.
I have read all of those. And so for me, between, let's see, I would put Tokyo Babylon above Magic Knight Rare Earth. So Tokyo Babylon
Thank
would
you.
Be top. I love so much about that. The costume, like the outfits, the fashion. Let me not. Okay, I'm going to go on like a tangent. But so Tokyo Babylon, Magic Knight Rare Earth, Wish. I'm going to put Cardcaptor Sakura in there, even though I haven't read it yet, because Angelic Lair would go... on the bottom.
Yes.
It's not bad. It's genuinely not bad. It's just like, if I were comparing it to all of the Clamp that I've read so far, which I've read most of it at this point, I definitely, it's not my favorite. Like, it's
definitely in the bottom tier. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's fine. It's not bad. So knowing that it's kind of it's out of print, I don't think I would tell people to just go run and like don't spend a whole bunch of money. Like
if you can get them for a dollar,
yeah, like a dollar or two, like, maybe five, maybe even $5. Honestly,
yeah,
you think $5 a piece? Like that's not.
If you could get the omnibus for, yeah, like $10 yeah. each or something. Or...
Yeah, because I have the omnibuses and they're nice. So like if you, yeah, just don't break
Don't
your
go
bank.
Crazy. Yeah, don't go crazy. If you're a Clamp collector, then you need it.
Yeah, that's okay. That is a good point. Yeah, if you just love to, you know, collect Clamp things, then collect it because it's worth it if you are a fan.
Yeah. I'm very curious. So there is a Clamp, like a dedicated Clamp podcast. I believe it's mm-hmm. called Clampcast in Wonderland. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. So people should go listen to them if they want to hear more about Clamp things. I believe they are currently in the middle of X, which good mm-hmm. luck, Clampcast in Wonderland. I'm very curious someday to hear them do an Angelic Lair episode for sure, or two or whatever. I very much want to hear what that is like. I'm gonna be like, what do you pull out of this? Please tell me. You know, yeah, tiny people can fight too, y'all.
Yeah.
Everybody has strengths and weaknesses.
Who knew?
No way. I think that's the Angelic Layer podcast again until the Clampcast one comes out, and then I'll be like, oh man, it's so deep. I can't wait.
I mean, we tried.
I don't know, man. They'll try better and harder. Right.
Harder, bester, faster, stronger.
Yeah. Harder. I believe in them. Anyway, thanks for listening to Shoujo and Tell. Comments, questions, constructive criticism, concerns. You need to gush about your OTP? Email shoujoandtell@gmail.com or leave a comment on the episode's YouTube page. We're at Shoujo and Tell on Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram. People cannot find Asher anywhere ever, but Asia, where can people find you and your work on the internet?
You can find... That was so funny.
I know Asher won't answer my questions.
I won't. I don't have anywhere to be found currently.
Yeah. Oh, that was... Okay, so you can find me at mamalovemanga.com, on YouTube, on Instagram. Although currently I have not been very active on my Instagram, I don't know why. The virus has me, I'm being wonky. I don't want to do anything. So
yeah, we're all lazy in the apocalypse.
I don't want to do it. But Twitter, I am still sort of active there. So you can find me there.
I love that when we first started talking, you were all Instagram and now you've converted to Twitter.
Right? I know. It's very interesting. I feel like Twitter is just, I've gotten used to it and it's easier.
You don't have to have a pretty photo in Instagram.
Yeah. Like Instagram, I feel so much pressure to post like a nice looking photo and, you know, I get envious sometimes of people's like feeds. I'm like, wow, that's, you put a lot of work into that.
I know. No, exactly. I'll be like, I'm so jealous that you're so good at this. And also mm-hmm. I'm very lazy and I don't care.
Right. You know? Exactly. So my Instagram, it's been neglected a little bit and I have unanswered DMs because I'm just like, I don't want to look at it. I don't want to. But yeah, you can find me everywhere else.
Yeah. Excellent. Are you excited every time you see a new episode from us? If so, please consider leaving a rating on Apple Podcasts. This will help the podcast reach more hearts, or at least ears. Thanks again for listening. We'll be back next time for Fruits Basket Another with Jacob Chapman, where Kyo's kid and Yuki's kid look almost exactly like Kyo and Yuki because genetics, Toru doesn't matter in this equation, I guess. Stay tuned until then. Bye.
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 Are you singing your byes now, Asher?
I'm always singing everything.
That's true.